We're celebrating summer with 40 Thrive's top 10 episodes of season 2. From body changes to career changes, mindset shifts to creating habits that will improve, well, pretty much everything. These episodes will make you think, laugh, and definitely grow as a grown-ass woman over 40 and beyond. This time, number 5.
You're listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Hi, welcome back to 40 Thrive. I'm Jackie, your host. Before we dive into all the greatness, this episode and our entire top 10 of season 2 is brought to you by Kindra. As I'm recording this, I am hearing from so many women all over who are not only trying to beat the heat outside, my gosh, it's hot, but from within. Hot flashes, night sweats, it is real. But did you know that suffering is not actually required? Let me say that again. Suffering could be a choice you're making. Mood swings, vaginal dryness, sleepless nights, they can all be addressed, and sometimes pretty simply. That's where Kindra comes in. They have estrogen-free essentials for your peri to post menopause journey. If you're feeling overheated, tired, sluggish, can't sleep, or experience vaginal dryness that's just getting in the way of the life you know you could be living, Kindra has a whole suite of products to help. And you can get 20% off Kindra site-wide with promo code 40thrive20 at checkout. That's ourkindra.com with promo code 40thrive20, F-O-R-T-Y-T-H-R-I-V-E, and the number 20. Go get it. You could be feeling so much better sooner than you can even imagine. If you're on the search for a new job opportunity, want to get further in your current career, or you're just starting over doing something totally different, this episode is pure gold. Amber Beam is on a mission to eradicate soul-sucking jobs everywhere. With 15 years in HR as an IO psychologist, she has seen it all. If you're thinking it's too late or I don't have enough experience, she's about to blow that out of the water. In this episode, we talk how to stand out among the crowd when searching for a new job or gig, what to do when you keep running into the O word, overqualified, how to use those soft skills to rock any interview, how and when to take a position that might look like a step backwards, and 4 simple steps to win anyone over on LinkedIn. It is pure gold. I am telling you, gold. Did I mention it's gold? Before we get started, huge shout out to Kin Main for the awesome review on Apple Podcasts. Kin Main writes, "This podcast is the manual for finally living in alignment and living your best life. Jackie is an incredible interviewer with a true gift for clarity, hilarity, and asking the questions we all want to ask. I highly recommend adding this one to your library." Oh my gosh, Kin Main, you are now officially my new best friend. Thank you. I am blown away by your kindness and your generous words. If you'd like to be featured on a future episode, leave a review where you listen to 40 Thrive. I appreciate it so very much. Okay, back to Amber and her amazing advice. Let's just dive in, shall we? Amber, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Woohoo! So glad to be here, Jackie.
So I was just reading your intro and you say you're what the heck is IO?
Industrial Organizational Psychologist.
What is that?
It's all kinds of awesomeness.
Tell us.
It's basically applying science to the workplace. So I got into it because I am deeply excited about what motivates us, what drives the best performance, what makes high-performing teams, and how do you get a leader that you love? And all of those things are captured in industrial organizational psychology. The I part is more like the data geeky side, which I love. And then the O part is more like coaching, which I also love. So it was like a perfect fit for me.
So how did you stumble into that? Because that's not even something I've heard of.
In fact, my mom was a clinical psychologist, and I knew I did not want to be on the couch with clients. But I love the idea of psychology and like, what is it about the person that motivates them to do things? And as part of, I think it was an introduction to grad school, like IO was presented, and I was like, bingo, that is where I belong. I can listen to some problems, but then I turn around and turn them into action.
Like, that's great that you've recognized and understand yourself, but now we're looking to move forward.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm excited about how you got here, but I do not want to spend too much time lulling in that space. I do want us to move forward. And in fact, I actively chose not to pursue my PhD because I wanted to be the practical person. I wanted to be the person who said, it's great that that's the theory of how people do what they do, but when they get inside an organization, I need to know how to make that work. Like, what actually happens? So that was a natural fit for me.
That's fantastic. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, because as you know, you are no stranger to the fact that not only are women over 40 automatically in this age and stage looking to change up their careers or find something new, maybe dabble in something else, but now with like the way the world has has gone in 2020, many of us need to find a new career. Like, totally. It's absolutely, whether it were being laid off or companies are going out, or I mean, I don't have to tell you, there's a variety of reasons. And so you caught me when you reached out to me and you said switch careers without losing money or level. I was like, those are my people. That's what they're looking to do, because I think we're so afraid of going backwards. You know, yes. And one, a lateral move is one thing, but like going back 10, 15, 20 years is not an option for many. But we're, you know, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes you're like, oh, well, I guess I just have to. I have to do that if I'm going to work. Like, maybe I'm aging out. Maybe there's nothing else out there for me. So please tell me, number one, that that is a BS story that we're telling ourselves. And number two, I'm going to give you the floor so you can teach us how to do it.
Yeah, I think many, many women at this stage and of their career and their age start to think that they've hit this place where there's no place to go. And for me, I want my clients to see all of that experience is exactly why now is the right time to go. If you have been stewing in this place of discontent, there's no better time. I mean, maybe the best time was yesterday, but you missed that. So let's do it today. And I think there are really two big pieces to that. One is marketing yourself. And this, unfortunately, does not come very naturally to women in general, and especially our generation. And I think it has something to do with the sandwich generation. But let's talk about that. Second is getting experience in your company. So before anything major takes place, if there is time for you to throw a parachute, do it. Get some experience. So firstly, the marketing piece. Again, I don't think that women do a really good job of promoting ourselves. And in fact, when I talk to women about marketing themselves, they feel like that's another department in their company. Like, oh no, I don't do that. That right. sounds like sales.
Right. But yeah. I talk about this all the time, that yes. we're taught as women to be confident, but not too confident, yes. to love yourself, but not so much that you're making other people uncomfortable. So like the messages we've been getting for decades are ridiculous.
Yes.
And so now yes. we're like, hey, I know you're 50, but you should go market yourself. And they're like, what? So, right. so yeah, talk to me.
Yeah. So maybe you're like me and your mom told you it was impolite to brag. So for me, I have internalized that to mean unless I am speaking in the proverbial we, as in we the team have accomplished, we the team put together, mm-hmm. here are some things we've done for you, then I don't need to have anything to add to the conversation. But so much of what we're missing out on is this opportunity to say, hey, I know I'm good at this stuff. And the other thing is, we think our manager knows. We think that the people in our chain of command know. They see me show up. They see me give it my all. Right. Here's the thing, girl, they do not. And I know the biggest fear I hear from clients is, I don't want to be that guy. We all know him. The blowhard in the meeting who says how great he is and all the amazing things he's done for you. And it's all about him. And that feels very gross. Right. You don't want to do it.
But let's be honest, he's often like taking credit for things that really aren't his anyway.
Exactly, exactly. And when opportunities come up, he has vocalized and said outright, I want, please let me, it would be exciting too. And every single time he opens his mouth, he demonstrates competence. Whether it's true or not, he's bold enough to say it. Mm-hmm. And that is something that women definitely fall back on. It's not a place where we really stand up and act boldly. And I'm here to say it's got to change. You have to be your biggest promoter. Mm-hmm. I say to my clients, I feel like I started a marketing agency when things got crazy in my career. I had to be a marketing agency with a client of one, all about Amber. Here's what Amber does. Here's what Amber can do for you. Because I had to get the attention in the middle of all the noise. That's the other thing. We just forget. Everybody's kind of looking inward on themselves. They're really thinking about what's going on for them.
Yeah.
And as your manager, sometimes I might just need you to throw up a flag. Oh, you wanted that? You would be interested in that? I didn't know. So take the opportunity to promote yourself. I think that's a huge step forward.
Yeah. Well, so let's dive into this a little bit more deeply. So one of the things that you're talking about, first of all, is that maybe your manager has assumptions and they're human beings. And so maybe you're a woman who's 50 and they think like, you don't want to work that hard. You don't want to get that job where you have to travel or whatever it is. Like, I'd like to blame the manager for having these assumptions, but they're real life. And so I think it's really important, as you're saying, to speak up and say, I would be interested in that. Travel sounds amazing to me, because they don't know what your life looks like. And I think we're already facing a lot of stereotype, a lot of assumptions that we have to be vocal when we like something. But let's go into the self-promotion there for a second. So we know we want to advocate for, like, yes, that job looks interesting to me. I want to throw my hat in the ring. But self-promotion can feel icky and all of that stuff. And so if you're, you know, I have someone listening on the other side of this conversation who's like, that sounds great, but I don't even know how I would start. So let's let her tiptoe into the self-promotion. What are some easy ways to sort of wade in the water without diving in, where she can sort of, you know, self-promote?
Yeah, I think the best way to start is with the Clifton Strength Finders assessment. I know you've had a strengths coach on in the past. Hands down, best tool any coach can use. It is affordable. You can zip through the questions and get your report all in the same hour. And then what I would love to see you do is to take those top five strengths and tell me a story. Stories are memorable. Stories are repeatable. They're the things that you walk away with and can say to someone else. So if you tell me a story of when you've done something where you were the heroine, don't say we, don't say the team, put yourself first, be very direct, and line up those strengths. So if your strength is building relationships, tell me about a time when you went out and maybe calmed the difficult waters, got everybody to consensus at the table, and made some major decision move forward that had been stalled out. Because as a hiring manager, that is like whetting my appetite. Sure, I might need these technical skills too, but if you can solve my biggest problem, which is this crazy meeting I have to attend every 2 weeks with these people who cannot get along, I'm already thinking you're on my short list. And so telling that story makes it easy for me to remember, oh, we interviewed 10 candidates in one day, but remember Susan? She was the one who said, and I can repeat back to someone else. So now I'm promoting, as the hiring manager at the interview table, I'm promoting you. Right. It makes it so easy.
I love that, because we're all so concerned that maybe our skills are outdated.
Absolutely.
Or we don't have enough, but looking at those strengths. So I will link in the show notes to the other episode where we talk about Strength Finder, because I love that tool. But using those strengths and how you use them, that's fantastic. That's a great, great tip, because it has nothing to do with whether you know Excel or you can edit on, like, all that stuff can be learned.
Yes.
But strengths and those qualities and leadership, you already have that. Like,
yes,
you can use that to your advantage. I love that. Oh my gosh, give me more.
And you're also going to show up happier. The thing about the Strength Finders is it says this is your zone of genius. Yeah. When you are doing these things, you are on fire. And for most women, they're just things you do. They don't feel extraordinary or special in any way. But as soon as you can align yourself with that superpower and make someone else see how valuable it is, you're getting kudos, you're getting promotions, you're getting raises, bonuses. Those things are coming to you easily because you can say, and you can actually use the words on the Strength Finders report if you need to start with the easiest baby step possible.
Right.
They will tell you, say this.
that's a great cool. place to start.
Yeah, yeah. And I would include that language, especially in things like your LinkedIn profile, which are a little more casual. Mm-hmm. It might not be the space for your resume, or in your cover letter. I think people are under the misconception that cover letters are dead. Mm. If you get a manager who likes them and you write a good one, you will again be on the short list. You will be tagged with the post-it note, the lady who wrote the good cover letter. That's right. How they'll know you when you show up for the interview. And that says a lot because you're already top of mind. Mm-hmm. And when you come and tell that story that you've kind of already piqued their interest with, they want to hear more. And right. their questions for you are going to be much more meaningful and get them closer to a yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, just by design, like a resume lists your experience, but a cover letter really showcases who you are and how yeah. you show up. And so I think that's a really cool thing. And then also when you get that interview, all you have to do, I mean, you're the expert, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like all you have to do is really just live up to the cover letter.
Absolutely.
Versus try to get them on your side.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're walking into, you know, what sales terms here, a warm audience. Mm-hmm. Like everybody is already in a place of, oh, they're kind of elbowing each other. Oh, this was the one. This is the one. Oh, that resume. Yeah, this is going to be the good one. Because if you've been on that side of the table, as I have many times, and you've sat through more than three interviews back to back, and I don't know why people would do that to themselves, but I've seen it more than once. Panelists who set aside a whole day to do interviews, mm-hmm. and they're exhausted. So yes. you're not only trying to prove that you can do the job, there's a little bit of like theater going on. You need to have that high energy moment where you show up and say, I'm different and that's good for you because. And I think the Strength Finders like nails that every single time. I haven't seen a client who couldn't appreciate what was there and map it back to what they do. And so often it turns out to be the thing they love to do. And they just don't recognize it.
Right. That's such a great tip. So you know that the next question, though, is like, is there a fine line between being confident, advocating for yourself and building yourself up and then just sounding like a blowhard?
I definitely think there is.
Where is that line?
I would say if you are conscious of it, if you are thinking I'm headed there, you're not that person.
Yeah.
That person doesn't have those thoughts. They don't worry about what you're thinking about their blowhardness. They just want to blow hard.
Right, right. And so I want to talk to you about the O word.
Sure.
Overqualified.
Mm.
So there are many women out there, myself included, who have so much experience in a variety of different ways. But you go in and you start to share your experience. Like, should you dumb yourself down, basically, to get a job in the area where you want to be because you have all this other experience?
I think the biggest danger in that is the employer has this idea in their mind about what they need at a minimum. And often that is directly tied to money, directly tied to the total compensation package. And for me, I don't want anybody taking a step back if they don't have to. So here's what I would say. I think you can get more information by creating some touch points through informational interviews. If you have been watching this company or maybe a couple companies as places you really want to work, have some informational interviews, have some conversations, and let them tell you, oh, you're overqualified. And then you can say to them, tell me what that means to you. And what would it look like at your company to have more than just this junior level? Are there some things there that maybe they haven't thought about? Like they have to teach that person how to play nicely with others. They won't have to do that with me. They have to teach them how to interact with high level or senior level stakeholders. Mm-hmm. They won't have to do that with me. Sometimes the hiring manager is so tunnel visioned on, I've decided this job is going to be junior. I really only need them to press the play button. Like they don't even have a real concept of what they could be getting and all that's involved there. And that'll come back again to compensation. But again, if you can demonstrate the value, you don't have to handhold me. I'm totally independent. And maybe, P.S., I have the opportunity to grow this. Maybe my relationships could bring something to the company that you don't have right now. Wouldn't that be worth trying this out?
Those are great tips. What do you think the fear is with a hiring manager? Because let's be honest, you're going to get somebody who's 50 years old. You know, she's probably overqualified for what you're asking, unless it's like some big job. But sometimes it looks like a step backwards in career. But we also get to the point where career isn't 100% everything. Maybe they want to be able to work at a pace that feels good for them,
yeah,
or not travel so much anymore when they were doing their corporate sales job, constantly traveling. Mm-hmm. There are lifestyle choices when it comes to looking for a new job. Why are companies, some companies, so afraid of bringing someone in who looks quote unquote overqualified?
Yeah, I think for them, again, it's the minute I've hired you to do this job at this pay and somebody else is doing this job at this pay, there's this inequity. And then there's a conversation about what's going on, who we've hired, what's happening. I also think that a lot of these decisions are very stovepiped. Like I have a problem and I've defined it as the solution is X. And so that's what I'm going to go get. Instead of what is the pool of potential around this position? And maybe for you, you are overqualified and you take it for 12 months. Again, it's experience on your resume. You grab those keywords that you can plug in to beat the bots when you're ready to get the bigger job. Your LinkedIn profile is ranking higher for these things. And people who are looking for someone who has quote unquote experience, you'll now have that little entry. But I wouldn't recommend it as end all be all. I mean, I think that there's no one way to have a career anymore. It's not the only way. And in fact, these kind of strategic lateral, maybe even seen as a step back move, could catapult you two or three times up to the position you really want to be in.
That's exactly right. So if a woman is over 40 and her strategy is, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to do this for a year because it's giving me the experience in these little ways that I don't have, yes, or more experience, and then I can catapult. But you've got some hiring manager who's like, no, I'm not doing it because she's, you know, on paper, she's overqualified. It's just, you know, you'd think that they'd want the most qualified person, but I also can understand that they want you to stay for the long haul. They don't want to have to redo the hiring process in 3 months because you're not satisfied. Is Absolutely. That one of the reasons?
Yeah. And I think their biggest fear of any position is a bad hire. Mm. So they get you on and you're dissatisfied. And right. Suddenly that leaches out onto the team. And now the team is dissatisfied. there's a right. little concern around that as well.
So it goes back to the dumbing down. Do you cut off some of your brilliance? Because let's be honest, Amber, some people just need a job right now.
Yeah.
We can sit here and talk about career and how great it is to go lateral or high. And that's amazing. But we're not all in that same boat. And so if someone just needs to get a job, and yes, it may seem like they're overqualified, what would you recommend they do? I mean, you did talk about all the other things that you bring to the table that somebody who's not at your level, they would have to like deal with. That's great. But do you dumb it down at all?
I think you answer what's asked for. I have seen this happen tremendously with clients. I understand you have 20 years of experience all day long. Good for you, girlfriend. You earned it. You own it. Perfect. But when they ask you, do you have 1 to 2 years of experience in X? Do you have 3 years experience in Y? And maybe 5 years experience in Z? They do not need a 20-year recount of what you've been doing. Give them the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years. And my practice is to try to get it down to one page, even for the big jobs, because recruiters are inundated. And we really need to think about this as a scannable moment. So give them the highlights. Make it juicy enough.
Right. So you're talking about the resume. So like, don't necessarily go back to 1995 and that job. You know. Now, what if that job in 1995 is directly related to what you're doing now or what you want to be doing now? Do you include it then? Like, how do you know?
Yeah, I think if it's the only experience you have tying you to this job opportunity, you might want to take a second look. Because okay. I can tell you the hiring manager, well, the recruiter is thinking, it's been 20 years since she's done that. I've got a kid fresh out of college who's been doing it for 2 years at a leading competitor. So that doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. Instead, if you were able to say, let's say you were able to get some of the similar experience at your company right now, you would be able to add that as an extra job underneath your company right now. And it doesn't have to be for years and years. Even if you took like a rotational assignment for 30 days, 90 days, you could still add that as a position held in that company. And that will give you enough to get recognized in the time frame that we're talking about.
That's great. And then you drop the old one and you just add it to there.
You don't need all that.
If you work on one project where you do a specific role that isn't your regular given role, you can still add it.
I would definitely pull that out. And on your LinkedIn, I would feature that. I would make that like your soundbite moment.
Yeah, I think so many times we're like, oh, but I didn't do that very long and I did it for a team. I hear that all the time where somebody doesn't want to take credit for something because they're like, I was part of a team. And it's like, yeah, but you still did it. You know, isn't that interesting that women specifically, maybe women over 40, were very careful. It's a lovely quality, but we're very careful to not take credit for things that we didn't actually do. But it's okay to take credit if you were part of a team who did something.
Absolutely. And I would say if you're having a little bit of angst around that thought, imagine your blowhard Brad at the meeting. Would he have a second thought? He would not. Just go
blowhard forth. Brad never has a second thought. So what about industries? I have so many questions.
Sure.
Industries where maybe in the 90s or early 2000s, the level of income was different from now. What happens when, let's just say, Barbara has been working for 20 years and now she's been laid off and she cannot find a job that's even close to what she was making? What is your recommendation there?
I think the first thing you want to do is understand your financial runway. So between now and $0 in the savings account or in my ability to keep cash liquid, how much time do I have? And I think that will help you make quick decisions. If you're offered something that's even like, I'm going to say a gig. So maybe it's a quick project that you could make, let's say 25 to 30% of your salary, and it comes through in a couple months. I would take it because A, you get to say on your resume that you are still working. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, and it's not logical, people prefer to hire people who already have a job. So keeping some experience on your resume is very helpful. The other thing is, could this opportunity lead you to the next thing? And think about just the people. So if you pass it up, you won't have the opportunity to make the money, of course, but you also won't be meeting the people. You won't have the opportunity to speak to the experience because, again, what if your last experience was 20 years ago? Mm-hmm. And now you would have this fresh approach to talk about. I also think you need to understand that things are changing at a breakneck pace. And that's for people who've been at companies for decades. things are just changing so fast. And I know for many of my clients, they're holding on to this idea that everything is linear and that, you know, I just need to get back to where I was, or I was supposed to make that next step. Or I looked at my boss's job and thought, oh, hell no, I do not want that. It's way more responsibility and only this much more pay. But I think the opportunity to think about what it looks like to get some experience, and if you allow yourself permission to job hop, if that's not the negative thing we used to think it was, having these different experiences is actually good. People are excited to see that you've worked in several different industries, that you understand stakeholder management from both sides of the table. That could be a huge advantage in an interview, which you may only get with a short-term job.
Right. Right. That's a great point. So it's not necessarily like you're taking a step backwards, jumping into a staff job for the next 5, 10, 15 years at a lower rate and lower level. You're investing in yourself to give yourself those skills to make you even more marketable on the other side of that project.
Absolutely.
I love that. So let's talk about the millions of women who may have had these great careers and then they took a break to raise kids, to do whatever. How do you coach those women who've had a gap for whatever reason in getting back into the workforce? I've seen resumes where maybe you're the PTA president and you talk about that, but that, I don't know. It feels kind of weird. Like, that's not a job. So how does one present herself if she hasn't been necessarily in the quote unquote like work world?
And I think this is another great opportunity before you maybe pursue what might be the traditional full-time employment, grab a gig because your consulting skills are right there, right for the picking. And there are so many platforms. Like, you could go on Upwork and have a profile up, you know, within a couple hours and have people dying to work with you. And then you could quote each of those jobs as a way that you've been growing your skills. Even if it's just a short minute in your resume where you're showing something new and updated. And I think this again is another opportunity where you've got to work your network. If you've let your network fizzle, start with the people you used to see every day. Go on LinkedIn, tell them you're back, tell them you're looking for something, and be specific. If you can give them a little soundbite moment, again, a repeatable story, you can turn each of the people you used to work with into your brand ambassadors. Hey, my friend Molly, she's been, you know, home with the kids, she's ready to return. She was amazing at X, Y, and Z. Are you guys looking for anybody? These people become your boots on the ground. And now it's not just you shaking the trees. You've got 10 or 15 very close people who could speak to your work ethic, all the soft skills. I don't even want to call them soft. I want to call them power skills. All the good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Your ability to work with others, to manage others. Do you know how hard it is to find a good manager? We all know. We've all worked for bad managers. Yeah. And if you are the person who was a good manager to this person you're asking to help you, that will be their first soundbite. She's an amazing manager. You've got to get her. Or maybe your secret skill was talent. You could spot talent a mile away. You built up a fantastic team, and then you took this break. Those people are telling that story for you. And again, just like walking into an interview where your cover letter has warmed up the audience, you're coming in very warm. You've got a personal recommendation. Somebody has spoken to your skills. And basically, you just have to nail it. You just have to sign that last line in the interview and you'll be ready.
That's great. I love that. A lot of people these days are applying for jobs on LinkedIn, Monster, I don't even, you know, all the places. How do you stand out? I know that you mentioned the cover letter and that's great, but I feel like I talk to women all the time who apply, including their cover letters, over and over and over again. Are those real jobs that are listed? Are they really looking for people? Because it seems like there are crickets on the other end when sometimes
Absolutely.
Women apply.
Absolutely. In fact, 80% of jobs are not advertised. So what you are looking at on a job
board. We need to say that again. One more time, Amber.
80% of jobs are not advertised.
Wow.
And why is that? They never hit a job board because they got a personal recommendation from an employee. because they found somebody at a networking event, because they have a recruiter who's out scanning for people. Your LinkedIn profile is no joke. If you are not serious about that, that becomes your number one to-do item today. Go in and make that a serious effort. There are lots of ways that you can set yourself apart. And LinkedIn even gives you the option now of saying, yes, tell recruiters, talk to me, I'm for it. So take all of those steps and be out there. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to feel like the land of crickets if you are relying on job boards.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask tips for LinkedIn because I think that we have to. But so the job boards, you're out there, you're applying for them. So 80% of the jobs are not on the job boards to begin with. And so the ones that are may already have someone identified maybe for the role, or...
They could. They could also be a new position they've never had filled before. They could also be the most junior position. Mm. There are lots of reasons they make it to the job board. But again, I'm going to say, if you have your eye on one or two companies you really want to work for, the best way to do that is people. Opportunities are connected to people. It sounds so hokey, but it is so true. People, people are happy to be your brand ambassador, make a personal recommendation. All of those things come from reaching out and talking to people. And I'm an introvert. I'll tell you, that can get weird, but on LinkedIn, it's very easy. You don't even have to put on real pants. Like, you can totally just pop on and start meeting people.
Right. So I have to say, though, I'm in LinkedIn and people will, you know, request the connection and then they come into your DMs immediately self-promoting and it makes me crazy. I do not reply. I just think it's so tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't walk into a networking event and just say, hi, I'm Jackie. I'm looking for a job and blah, 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 blah. And can I get on the phone with you and talk? Like, I'd be like, oh, get away from me.
Yes.
You know,
ew.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten a cocktail yet. And so don't do that, people.
No,
no. Just start. But I love this idea of, what are the companies where you would like to work? Who's doing what is aligned with what you're looking for? And then start making those relationships. So absolutely. How would you recommend? My listener has identified three companies that she would love to work. She has looked into the people. She's found certain decision makers in those companies. She should send a note along with the connection, right?
Yes.
What should she say in that note?
I would say the first connection note, A, LinkedIn limits your number of characters.
Okay.
But B, it needs to be just friendly. Mm-hmm. Hi, I am also excited about X profession, or maybe even something cool you saw in their profile. Yes. Hi, I saw we both volunteer for March of Dimes. Would love to connect. It can be that simple, two sentences. And then give a little space. Don't be the weirdo who immediately jumps in their inbox, but come back in a day or two and say, I also noticed that you work at this company. I'm really excited about their mission. I connect to the fact that they want to do X, Y, and Z. Would love to chat with you about that. Even if it's just for 15 minutes, keep it simple, keep it small, make it easy to say yes. I say somewhere between 75 and 80% of those can we chat requests get a yes. And here's why. People think, nobody's going to want to talk to me. I'm a stranger. Don't be a weirdo. Strangers, okay. Don't be a weirdo.
Don't be a weirdo.
Said, yeah. Don't jump into their DMs within the next 5 minutes. Don't be a weirdo.
Yes, yes.
Just be a polite stranger and say, I would like to talk to you. I would like to hear about your experience. Everybody wants the minute to stand on the podium and say what they've been working on, how proud they are. And if they're working at one of the top companies in the industry, they probably get asked all the time. So it's like, you know, old hat for them.
Right.
And if you're showing up in a real authentic way, people are happy to take 15 minutes to answer a couple questions. It will be up to you to manage that time and to honor your promise. Do not go over your 15 minutes and immediately send a thank you note. And tell them what you learned from your conversation and how you are going to use it to make your job search better or connect with someone else. There's always this opportunity to bridge to something else and then provide a win back. So if you find a cool article or a funny meme that reminds you of something you talked about, you can connect to them that way too and just say, saw this, thought of you, made me laugh. It could be very lighthearted and easy. It doesn't have to be so like stiff and professional.
I love, this is gold. This is gold. So number one, know what they're doing and find something specific about them. Number two, don't say, can I bend your ear and make it all about you? Make it all about them and wanting to hear about their experience.
Yes.
Number three, follow up with a thank you. And number four, find something that maybe connects to the conversation you had. This is gold. I love it so much. So the research that you talk about, which takes anywhere between 30 seconds and 3 minutes, is so important because you have no idea how many people I get to reach out to me and say, I would love to be on your podcast. I am a 21-year-old male entrepreneur who is, you know, building skateboards. And I'm like, did you even look to see what my podcast is about? Like, I should say yes at some point and then just start asking them questions about being a woman over 40.
About menopause?
Exactly. Tell me about menopause while you're building your skateboards. But, you know, so it's really important because that is such a turnoff. Like, even if you are that 21-year-old entrepreneur who builds skateboards, find something. Like, can you imagine, hey, my mom is 46 and I just taught her how to skateboard. Boom. And it's actually a great, I would totally have him on to talk about skateboarding in middle age. Like, yes, that is so cool, right?
Yes.
So just take a little, just take a minute or two to do a little research and be creative in how you reach out. And so this is great. This is all really, really helpful. I think we're in a time that's extremely difficult, but we're also in a crazy time of opportunity.
Yes.
You know, and so if you've been laid off or you're about to be or the company, like, take a chance. And it's easy for me to say I'm not in your shoes right now. But if there's like, you know, you work in accounting and you've always wanted to work in insurance, there are some marketable skills we all have.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why I use those as an example, because I would lose my mind if I had to work in either of them, because my brain does not work that way. Do you work with people so you can help them take the skills they have and make them marketable in the industry that they want to work?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what you do.
Yes. So I have an online course. If you are the independent woman who does it herself and doesn't need one-on-one support, called the Career Change Bootcamp. And it's all of the things we have talked about today: marketing yourself, understanding your strengths, informational interviews, all of the ways that you can show up bigger. And they're bite-sized little chunks, so you're not in training for weeks and weeks. Mm. I like to say that in 30 days, you can complete the education and do the work that makes it work. And I think they're all things that we probably know, you know, maybe 10 to 15% of. But if you were to take that up to the 55 or 65% mark, like, you would just excel past. And as you asked earlier, like, how do you stand out? These are the ways that you stand out. That professional summary on LinkedIn, your headline, all of those little moments where you can be different, you could be personable, and you can say things that other people aren't saying. Those are big ways to market yourself. Right. And in the one-on-one coaching space, we're getting custom. It's all about, okay, I have decided I am going from accounting to insurance. They don't care that I can balance the P&L. They're not interested. Mm-hmm. They are interested in how I can interact with stakeholders. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about that ad nauseum. Let's get you prepared for an interview where you say, well, you know, I haven't directly done this, but in my other job, I was able to, and you give them a big fat success story and they're sold.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And also, don't be afraid. I know it's so easy to say, but, you know, back in my 20s, informational interviews, I would rock those things. I would like put my eye on the prize. I had a friend who would regularly tell me, like, I was going to make six figures by 30, check, you know, get married, have three kids, check, check, you know, like all of those things. I was extremely goal oriented. As I approach 50, it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe they don't want a 49-year-old woman working there. Maybe it's a much younger industry. Maybe we start to tell ourselves these stories that are exactly that. They're not the good stories that you're talking about.
No.
They're bogus. They're bogus stories. And so do you include that in your coaching and in your program as well, as far as like how to get out of your own way?
And that's so funny. The first step in my roadmap is like silencing your inner critic, just giving them the shush. Like, that's it. I've had enough. And also this idea of piloting or just test driving. When I was much younger and more naive, I thought I wanted to be a sommelier. I was going to quit my very lucrative job and go pour wine. And I was going to have a boutique wine shop and it was going to be beautiful. So before I did anything drastic, I took a part-time job at a wine shop in town. Oh. And I remembered very quickly all the things I don't like about retail, including working weekends, working nights, being public-facing, working with the public. Of all of the things that just like rushed into me, and I was like, you are crazy. This is not what you want to do. You want to drink good wine and talk about it. And you could join a club to do that. You don't have to like stop your life to do this. Right. And I say that to people who come to me, I just want to be a baker. I just want to have, you know, a shop where I sell clothes. You might want to do that. Mm-hmm. But you also might want to test drive that option before you do anything crazy. And if now is the time where you have that opportunity, do it. Take the minimum wage job and just try it out. You don't have to commit. It doesn't matter if you quit that job in 4 weeks. It's never going to be on your resume. You never speak of it again. No big deal. But you have that experience to say, that was nothing like I thought it was going to be. Or confirm, this is where I'm supposed to be. This That's is fantastic. My space.
Yes. So if you've been laid off or you're in between, like, go ahead and take that entry level thing. It's so funny because in some ways, the entry level jobs don't care if you're overqualified, because like most people are. It's the middle of the road job. They want to make sure that you're not going to be bored. So yeah, that's such a great tip. So try it out, see what you can do. Because we have it in our heads that like specific jobs will be better for our lives at a certain age. I think about real estate, right? And people are like, oh, I can make my own schedule and I'll be a realtor. And I was like, you got to work nights and weekends and there's paperwork. You're not just like, you know, talking about crown molding. Like, you got to then follow up with like contracts and stuff. Like, you can see the ADHD in me, right? Like, I could walk you through 5,000 houses and find the one that's perfect for your family. But if I have to follow it up with contracts and paperwork, I am out. And so really thinking about what is entailed is a great tip. And it seems so obvious.
Yes.
But I think it's really important to look at the whole picture before you jump into being a sommelier.
Exactly.
So I'm going to link to all the things you do and everywhere people can follow. I just thank you so much. This has been extremely helpful and so timely and yet so evergreen. I think somebody can come and listen to this a year from now and it's just as important and just as powerful. So thank you so much, Amber, for joining
me. Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Amber's got a bunch of free and paid resources to help you get the job of your dreams. Check out the show notes here to follow her brilliance. Thank you so much for listening. This is definitely an episode you want to share with a friend, and I would be so grateful if you did so. And if you haven't subscribed, hit that button now. Until next time, take care and keep thriving. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconu? Coconu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconu. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconu.